You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
Talking with Dan Dickerson, play-by-play man for the Detroit Tigers.
I'll never forget the day when he came back after the birth of his daughter. He came back, hit three home runs in his first game back. Saw him in the clubhouse, Brandon Ninja was talking about one of the home runs, I think it might have been the last, was just a bomb. And Miguel walked in just as Brandon was talking about it. And Miguel had a big smile on his face. He goes, I killed that one, huh?
Now, here's Dave Benton.
I wonder if that big smile reflected his mugshot at all. I wonder if it looked anything like it. Yeah. Things I wish I could have said to Dan Dickerson, but I held off of last week. Well, welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff. Then you can also follow us on Twitter, WILS Weekend Kick. Dave Benton here alongside my co-host Scott Eckersley. It's time for the Junk Bin. Let's talk a little sports outside of the Michigan area. And I want to start talking with a very depressing situation, in my opinion, and that is what is happening with Tiger Woods right now. Okay? I'm a huge golf fan only because of Tiger Woods. I love watching Tiger Woods. I think I like watching Tiger Woods more when he drives into the rough because I love watching him get out of his own situations and still birdieing. But he has fallen off the map in a way I've never seen him fall off before. And I know he's got a new swing and he's working through it and things like that. But he had gone through that once before and he at least stayed relevant. Okay? But Tiger Woods now looks like he is still mentally not with it on the tour. And I thought once he got that divorce, I thought once he got to start focusing on himself more, and you know, that's a selfish comment, but it's true. I mean, Tiger Woods is a selfish guy. Let's not beat around the bush here. He did cheat on his wife with how many women, which usually means that you're selfish. But I thought once he got selfish again, he would turn into a fantastic golfer again. And that just hasn't happened. And when he drove that ball about 200 yards wide of the fairway, that just signaled to me he's a long way away, Scott.
There's so many things that he's tried to do. And there's a great article, I just pulled it back up, by Joe Posnanski, normally the baseball writer, talking about aging athletes, and Derek Jeter's changing his swing. He's 36 now. He's shortening his stride so he can get the bat speed, get a quicker swing, be on top of the fastball. Tiger Woods, he's 36, 37, right around there.
Yep.
He's changing his swing because Tiger, if you always looked at him, he had the most vicious swing I've ever seen.
It's bad for your back when you swing.
Oh, it's bad for all of your joints. I mean, your feet.
It's kind of like whenever Gary Sheffield swung a bat, and I'm like, how have you not thrown out your back yet?
Well, exactly. And I mean, your feet are, you have spikes on to keep your feet in place. So you're just shifting and turning, and you can only hold up for so long because Tiger came in at 18. He was just crushing everything. And yeah, you've got to make some changes, but he's changed everything so much. There's so much in his head about, because he still thinks he should be where he was back when he was the most dominating player. Didn't matter what was happening. You always knew he was going to be wearing that blood red on Sunday and be right there.
Something that has always shocked me about Tiger Woods, and I've always thought this when I watch it, I just go, why don't you take 10 to 15 yards off that drive and hit the fairways? Good Lord. Like, because he wants to hit it so far that oftentimes his swing gets all untangled, and then he ends up hitting it in the rough or hitting it in a tree or a sand trap or something like that. And I always wondered, and I'm sure he's got a very good explanation of why, and the explanation is probably is because he can get out of it, but I always wondered how many more tournaments he could win if he would take 10 to 15 yards off that stroke and just go ahead and hit the fairways and greens, man.
Well, he's tried it. He's gone tournaments without using his driver. He's just put it in the bag, and because, I mean, it seems the last 3-4 years, whenever I watch Tiger, he's always dropping his driver off the tee. He's just mad.
Yeah.
Because he sprays the ball so much, but he's the best scrambler. He can rescue everything. But I think one of the bigger reasons for why he doesn't do that, like you said, just kind of ease up and play it a little bit longer, it's because he's Tiger Woods. What's everybody's perception of Tiger? Well, he's going to bomb the ball. He's mm-hmm. going to reach the 550-yard par 5 in 2 easily with a short iron. So he has that perception. I think that plays a lot into it.
One of the first lessons I learned when I started golfing was, don't swing too hard, let the club do the work. And it's just always shocked me how Tiger Woods always seems to swing too hard, and he doesn't just let the club do the work. Because I think he can drive a 315 without swinging hard. So, I don't know. we'll see what happens with Tiger. My question to you, when does he pick back up his old form? How long do you expect it will take him to get back to his old form? Not even to the dominant form, but just where he's competing, because right now he's not even competing.
Yeah, I was going to say the dominant form, I don't think he's ever going to be back there. But the Tiger, I mean, even look last year. He didn't win any championships, didn't win the majors, but he still had a great year by all accounts. I mean, he was in the top five of a few of them. And I think he can stay there because he's still such a great player. He's one of the best putters.
And he's a great competitor.
Yeah, and that is huge. It's just kind of the perception that we have for him is he needs to be winning everything. I think he'll be fine the rest of this season. He'll be I never count him out of the Masters. That is his tournament.
He's always my pick to win any major.
Exactly. When you take Tiger versus the field, I still hedge towards Tiger on most of those. But he's not going to be as dominant as he was. He'll be put him in the pack with five other guys who have a good chance of winning.
That's fair enough assessment. And you know, before we move on, just real quickly, I think it's going to take him about a year and a half to get that arrogance back, about a year and a half to get right in his mind and get his swing going and stuff. And I think year and a half from now, we're going to be talking about him winning some majors.
Well, and the reason we bring it up, he lost first round of the WGC Accenture Match Play Championship. I didn't even realize it was starting already until midweek. I saw it on the bottom line.
Yeah.
I saw a headline come up of Tiger Woods loses first round. Was he a one seed?
Yeah, he was a one seed.
And that's one thing that I love, the way that they do that. It's not, they just take your player ranking 1 through 64 and you go. There's
yep.
nothing else involved.
No tournament committee involved
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Obviously, you can't do that for college basketball because the whole ranking system is, I mean, you can use 8 different ones and people do. But that is the great thing to watch, to see this, where it's all just, if you're on a hot streak right then and there, that's the best thing to watch.
Moving on, let's go over to baseball. Another pretty devastating story, which would be the Cardinals losing Adam Wainwright for the year. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. A guy who had a 2.42 ERA last year, went 20-11, had an ERA in the twos the year before that. Really one of the dominant pitchers in baseball. Is there anything more devastating than losing your ace pitcher?
For them, if Albert Pujols decided, you know, I'm not going to play this year, I think that would be worse.
Yeah.
They do have a pretty good rotation behind them. I know they're
Well, because you've got Carpenter, Garcia, Westbrook, Loesch, and probably Supon's going to get some starts now as well.
Yeah, which isn't fantastic, but it's not as bad as only having, like, if Justin Verlander went out, that's a much bigger deal because you have to count on him a lot more because of what the rest of your rotation is. For them, though, the way that team is set up, where pitching is so important, you look at his numbers, he's really second in a lot of stats just behind Roy Halladay.
Yep.
That's who he's compared to, and he's very unsung. I mean, he finished second in the Cy Young. Over the last few years, he's got an ERA in the mid-twos. So he's very, very good, pitches a lot of innings. And to have him go down, and the fact that they can't really make a move right now, that's the thing that really hurts.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the innings pitched, and I do wonder, obviously that had something to do with it, but I wonder how much of an impact that had to do with it compared to mechanics. Because you look at it, I mean, this is a guy who was a reliever for a long time. 230 innings pitched last year, 233 innings pitched the year before that. He's been a workhorse. And you wonder with somebody who's made his way into being a starter, okay, and you look at his mechanics, and you wonder how much is mechanics and how much is innings pitched. In this case, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that hard swing arm action that he has, I think, you know, when he throws that wicked curve and stuff, I think that has something to do with it. But 233 innings, two straight years, that's a lot of work.
I've never been a fan of innings pitched and number of pitches thrown.
Well, I didn't used to. But I think it is becoming an issue now in Major League Baseball.
I think that people are just too worried about it. You have the magic number of 100 for starters, whereas I don't think that that is necessary. Guys can keep throwing, and you go back to the old days. I mean, Nolan Ryan had to have thrown so many pitches, and he pitched for how many seasons? 20, 21?
Right, but I think it depends on the pitcher. I mean, you've got guys that just have flat-out rubber arms, okay? But you never know.
And that's where it comes into your mechanics.
Yeah, and that to me is where it's at. If you've got a pitcher like Carpenter who kind of has funky mechanics, not fantastic mechanics, Okay, I think you do have to worry about pitch count, and I think you do have to worry about innings pitched. But either way, it's a devastating thing losing Adam Wainwright at the beginning of the year. You know, if they had any hopes of competing, I think it might have just gone out the window. They might be playing for 500 at this point.
Well, I know we don't cover the NL very much. Obviously, we focus on the AL Central. But that let's talk a little bit about that NL Central. I mean, normally you put the Cardinals, you can write them in as winning that division. Last year, the Reds won it. How much do you think the changes made by the Reds, or think they can sustain that, and adding Zach Greinke to the Brewers, how bad do you think that will affect the Cardinals in that aspect?
The thing is, when I say compete, I don't mean compete on a division standpoint, because I think they are, with Matt Holliday and Pujols and stuff, I think they still are the best team in the Central this year. The issue is there's no way you compete with Philadelphia. There's no way you compete with the Giants and things like that. There's just certain teams that once they get... It's kind of like the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are not a bad team in the NBA, but they're just going to get to a certain point this year in the playoffs where they don't have the horses to go. And I just see that happening with them this year, that they just now, without Wainwright, without having that bam-bam 1-2 rotation that you can go to compete with Philadelphia, I just can't see them winning a series against a team like the Phillies.
That's the biggest thing, because that was their identity, where they'd throw that 1-2 punch. If you lined up wrong against them in a series, you didn't have a chance, because you were facing ace 1A, and then a third pitcher who's pretty solid, and you're just demoralized by then. If you're in a weekend series like that, that's just tough.
And not
to
mention, when you have Carpenter and you have Wainwright, a lot of times you don't even have to go to your bullpen in the first two games. I mean, you can get 2 8-inning outings out of the guys, and then your bullpen's completely fresh, and even if you have a bad start, you can pull them in the third inning and just go hard with the bullpen the rest of the game. So there's a lot to having an ace, and I just think without him, it really hurts. Real quick, before we go to break, I want to talk about the NBA trade. There were 14 moves made between February 21st and February 24th. I want your most underrated trade move, or most intriguing, let's say this, most intriguing trade move of the 14 moves, Scott.
The one that I like the most, Gerald Wallace going to the Portland Trailblazers. I watched most of that game last night, Blazers versus Nuggets. Went to overtime, I didn't see that. But I really liked the Trailblazers, and when Brandon Roy went down, he came back. He played for a little while last night, and you don't know how much he's going to be able to play for really the rest of his career, how short that might be. And Wallace is such an underrated player because he's been on so many bad teams, but he's a guy that can and will do everything. And just seeing the crowd's reaction when he was, because he was in a suit, he wasn't part, he was on the bench, and when he was shown on the Jumbotron, the crowd went nuts because they know how much that means. And LaMarcus Aldridge
does not get
credit.
You add him with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Exactly.
And that's a pretty solid nucleus. It really is a bummer that Brandon Roy ended up having what happened, because he was a legitimate player to build around, and they had a solid nucleus going. They had a solid nucleus. For teams that couldn't afford to get a big-time free agent, Portland had a pretty good team.
And it will be tough. I'm not a huge, I've never liked Joel Prisbilla, but he did serve a purpose for them, and that was noticeable. They didn't have a center.
Yeah.
They don't have a center.
Well, nobody really has a center anymore, outside of Dwight Howard. I mean, once the Celtics traded away their center from Perkins, nobody seems to really care about Postman.
But when you go in the West, you know that you're going to have to face, right now, the Spurs. Tim Duncan's not a center. I mean, mm-hmm. Aldridge and Duncan. But then the Lakers are always that team out there, and they are so big.
You got the Mavericks with Haywood, and you got Nowitzki and those guys. Yeah, there's some big teams out West, absolutely. For me, I thought the most intriguing trade was the one between the Rockets and the Suns. Okay, the Rockets gave away Aaron Brooks to the Suns for a first-round pick in Goran Dragic. Now, the reason I find this interesting, Steve Nash has been with the Suns for a long time, and Steve Nash has been nothing but a good teammate and a good member of that organization. I think the Suns are getting ready to reward Steve Nash by trading him away to a team that he can get a ring with, and I think that that's a great move by them as a franchise, respectful to the team, and Brooks is a good player. Okay, but I find this intriguing because it means to me, you don't trade for Aaron Brooks if you're not going to use him. So clearly the Suns are going to do something with Steve Nash in the offseason, and I think I'm glad that it's going to happen. So to me, that was the most intriguing trade. Obviously, you could talk Darren Williams, you could talk Carmelo, but everybody's exhausted those conversations. I just wanted to touch on a couple that perhaps people weren't talking about. Coming up next, we'll talk a little Big Ten basketball. Where does it rank conference-wise with the other conferences this year? It's up next, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.